It's August 22nd, and this is Rabbi Manning Shiur.
Good morning, everybody. Boker Tov. Nice to see everybody here this morning. In a minute, we're going to introduce the Shiur part two of what we started last week, and I'm going to catch you up a little bit on part one in case you weren't here last week. Just a little bit of advanced notice. We can't deny it now. Rosh Hashanah is almost upon us. And for the next couple of weeks, I'd like to deal with some pre-Rosh Hashanah and pre-Yom Kippur issues. Next week, I'd like to give a shiur on davening at Kivrei Tzadikim and the problems that that brings up in terms of what exactly is going on and why are we going to a kever anyway and what does that achieve. We'll see that there is an underlying, very deep meta halachic and hashkafic issue going on there as to how we relate to Kivrei Tzadikim, and we maybe even throw in a little bit davening through Malachim as well, because that all these issues come up at this time of year, different minhagim in Slichot, different minhagim to visit the graves of relatives in Tzadikim, etc. So we'll talk about that. The week after, in the run up to Rosh Hashanah, I want to talk about Segulas and what does that exactly mean and how does that work, a topic which is often discussed but not often understood, and then we'll move on from there. But today we're on part two of part one, and we're talking about electric shavers, because not only is this a topic which is relevant for those in the audience who regularly shave, which I'm looking around is a few people, mostly of men I suspect, but a few people nevertheless, not just an issue of practical interest, but it is an issue of, again, there's a meta-halachic issue going on under the surface here, which we'll really bring out today, which is what is the interface between Kabbalah and Halacha, because we'll see some fascinating Kabbalistic issues coming into this question, and that question as a bigger question, as a more global question, goes way beyond this topic, and we're actually going to have a shiur specifically on that, Be'ezrat Hashem, later in the year, dealing with this issue of Kabbalah, but we'll touch on it today. So let's start off maybe with a little bit of history of the electric shaver. I hope everybody's got a sheet here. The electric shaver was invented in the mid-1800s. People had been shaving with razors, obviously, for forever, as long as they worked out that there was... You want a sheet? Yeah, there's one here.
They should have some of the desks.
The minute that somebody worked out that you could scrape something over your face and it would take off the hair, they've been using razors. But in the mid-1800s, in the 19th century, there were already patents put in for, first of all, a manual beard clipping machine, which comes up in the postgame at the end of the 19th century. And then in 1898, the first patent for an electric razor. Gillette, of course, came out in the early 20th century with the safety razor, a few little pictures there of modern and old safety razors, and something called the Vibro Shave that came out later. I'm too young to remember this, but in 1925, the electric savory face safety razor and Vibro Shave, you see a nice fellow over here with a safety razor in an old Gillette advertisement. They used to plug them into the light fittings as they came down from the ceiling. You can get these old pictures until eventually in 1931, Jacob Schick created the first electric shaver, which for many years was called the Schick shaver. This was already referred to in the postgame very quickly in the US postgame in 1932. Eretz Yisrael took a little longer to catch on, only after the war, when Bochurim started to come from America to Eretz Yisrael, the postgame here were brought, it was brought to their attention that there was such a thing as an electric shaver, and they started to discuss it, and we'll see some of those soon. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank and others. In 1939, Philips brought out the famous round head shaver, which is still, of course, one of their main products today. And then, as we'll come to in the 1980s, we got this lift and cut mechanism, which we'll describe and we'll understand and see what the post can say about that. So let's have a look, just review the halachic background that we talked about last week. This is a complicated issue, and we've got to keep it clear and keep it structured, but I hope you'll find it informative and interesting. The background is two psukim. Number one, this is all that this is revision up until Saul source number 12. So let's, or 13. Let's have a look at it today. Do not round off the corners of your head. We talked last week about where that might be. And do not destroy the corners of your beard. And we talked last week, remember, we brought in Jeremy Corbyn as a volunteer who demonstrated to us where the corners of the beard might be. But the point here is that it doesn't use the word razor in this verse. It doesn't anyway. There is a word in Hebrew for razor, which is ta'ar. It doesn't use that word. It just says, do not destroy the corners of the beard. It didn't have to use that word. We'll see what that means. So too, there's a pasuk in Parshas Emor dealing with the Kohanim, which we saw last week. Number two, lo yikruchu karcha barosham. Do not make bald. They cannot make bald patches on their head. Ufa'at zikanam lo yigalechu. And they may not shave the corners of their beard, okay? And they may not make scratches on their flesh. Again, he uses the word shave here, but doesn't use the word razor. Razor hasn't appeared anywhere. The word razor does appear in other contexts, and this we never saw last week. Look briefly, number three. Kol yimei nedel nizro ta'ar lo yavor al rosho. Tar, it says all the days of a nazir, a man or a woman who chooses to be a nazir or nazira, may not pass a razor over his or her head all the days of their nazirut. And there it does say the word tar, admalot hayamim asher yazir lashem, kodesh yiyeh, etc., etc. So too, over the page in number four, where the Levim were prepared, were inaugurated, they also had to be shaved, and again it uses the word razor. Number four, v'chos aseh lahem, this is what you have to do to them, says God to Moshe, letaharam, to purify them. Hazeh aleihem mechatat, they have to be sprinkled with the water of the para aduma, mixed with the ashes, etc. Ve'heviru ta'ar al kol b'saram, and pass a razor over all of the body of the Levim, v'chipsu b'gdeim, they have to go to mikveh v'hitaru, and they will become tahor. And you know the Midrashim with Korach and his wife, how she says, you look like a fool, look what Moshe Rabbeinu is doing to you, shaving all your body hair off, etc. And that was done with a razor. The reason I brought you those psukim is to show you that when the psukim want to use the word razor, they use it. So what are the implications for us by the fact that it didn't use the word razor for the prohibition of shaving the beard? He used the word hashchata, destruction, and he used the word giluach. And that's a source we see number six, which again we saw last time. Nevertheless, the Mishnah, actually number five for a second, Hamashlit Padzikano, says the Mishnah, if a person, and we'll see it's a man specifically, shaves off the corners of his beard, he's only liable if he uses a razor. And the question is, where did the Mishnah get that from? It never said razor. It said razor for other things, but never said razor for this. And the Gemara answers the following. Number six, Ve'enu chai v'achit lenu batar. Why is a razor specified here? Tana Rabbanam. Because it brings the two psukim together. Upa'at zekanam lo yigalechu. With the Kohanim, it says they may not shave their beards. Yochal afilu galchu mismarayim. Maybe if they just shaved with the scissors, maybe if they use scissors, that would be called a shave. Yehei chayav. Then they would be liable. Talmud Loma, the Torah says no. Lo tashchit. He brings the two psukim together. Even though the mitzvah for the Kohanim is not counted as a separate mitzvah in the Tariyag mitzvahs, by most of the Meforshim, the Bahag counts it as a separate mitzvah, but most do not. It is brought together with this pasuk in Kedoshim to say no, there has to be a hashchata. So it has to be a saving, it has to be a shaving and a destruction. We'll see what that means soon. We'll see what it means in a minute. Ilo tashchit. If it says do not destroy, yachol af liktu b'malaket v'rehitni, maybe if you just plucked it out with tweezers, again we saw this last week, or with a plane and rub the face with something hard, yehei chayiv, maybe that's a destruction, that's no good. No, because Talmud Loma lo yigalechu, because it says they may not shave, it has to be both. Haketzad, how does that work? Giluach sheyesh bo hashchata. This is the key phrase to understand all that we're going to see about electric shavers. There has to be a giluach, shaving, which is also hashchata, which is also destructive, and we'll have to define what does destructive mean. And then the Gemara says, Havi Omer, what does that mean? Zetar. This is a razor. And we raised last week the question, what does that last line of the Gemara mean? Does that mean that giluach sheyesh bo hashchata, these two things together, shaving and destroying, the only thing that does that is a razor? And anything other than a razor is simply not included. I don't care how close it gets. I don't care how much people shave with it. If it's not a razor, it's not a problem. Or is the Gemara saying no? The razor is one example of something which does giluach, shaves, and hashchata, destroys. But if you can bring me other examples, maybe a Norelco shaver, a lift and cut shaver, then that's also something which does giluach and hashchata, and the fact that it's not technically a razor is irrelevant. Which of those readings are we going to see? And the Rambam, and we'll see soon the Shulchan Aruch, takes a fairly lenient view. Look at number 7. You have to have used the razor, says the Rambam. Giluach sheyesh bo hashchata. He just quotes the Gemara. Lefikach im gileach zikno, if he shaved off his zikano, the misparayim with scissors patur. Ah, scissors can get very close. No, scissors is not called shaving. Patur. Now, patur often means in the Rambam patur aval asur, that there's a rabbinic prohibition. Interestingly, the Shulchan Aruch does not read it this way here, and it reads patur to mean mutar. It is permitted, and we'll see in a second the Shulchan Aruch says this very clearly. So the Rambam says you're only liable and you're only prohibited if you're using a razor. There is such a thing as a ke'ein ta'ar. We never saw this source last week, but I want to show it to you now, number 8. Amar Rav, this is talking about the mitzvah, which we'll see later, of lo tilvash, of men shaving off their body hair in a way which is effeminate. Now, we haven't really touched on this yet. We've been talking about shaving off the beard, but what if a man says, you know something, I'm not going to start with my beard, but I'd like to shave other parts of my body, under my arms, etc., because I like a nice clean look. We're not talking about someone who's a swimmer, a cyclist, who's doing it for, aerodynamic, whatever it is. That's a whole different... He's doing it because he feels it makes him feel nice, he wants to be clean shaven. Says the Torah, you can't do that if it's feminine. We won't get into a definition exactly now. We'll talk about that later. But look at number 8. Amar Rav, Mekel Adam Kol Gufo Batar. A person, a man here specifically, can make himself more comfortable. Mekel, he can lighten up his... Let's say he's a very hairy guy. He can use a razor to lighten up the body hair, to take off the body hair. That's fine. Meisei, the Gemara raises a question. No. Hamavi Beit HaShechi Ubeit HaErva Harizeh Lokeh. If he shaves under his arms and other places in his body, that's a prohibition. He can't do that. Why are you telling me he's allowed to use a razor? So the Gemara first tries one answer. Habatar, habamisparayim. One is a razor, which is prohibited, and the other example where he says it's okay, Rav's example is scissors, that's okay. Says the Gemara, no, you can't say that. Baharav nami batar kama. Rav specifically mentioned you can use a razor on your body, not a problem. So the Gemara finally says no. Ke'eintar. And we see now there's a third category, which we have to get clarity on today. There's a tar, which is a razor. There's misparayim, we all know what they are scissors. And there's something in the middle, a ke'ein tar. What is a ke'ein tar? Like a razor, Rashi says. Shegazaz, number 9. Bemisparayim, you do tak use scissors. Besamuch lebasar. Each one of these words is very important for our share today. Very close to the skin, ke'ein tar. Like a razor. You can get, if you use the right scissors, you can get a really short cut. It won't be like a razor, but that's okay. It won't be exactly like a razor, but it's ke'ein tar. That's close, but not too close. That's good enough, says this Gemara. And the Shulchan Aruch picks that up for the beard as well. Number 10, ein chayv al hashchatat pe'ad zakan. The only thing which is prohibited is a razor. Aval b'misparayim mutar. We saw this last week. Scissors is fine. You can cut your beard with scissors. Afilu ke'ein tar. Important point. The Shulchan Aruch says, and I don't care how close the cut is. If you're using scissors and you have a pair of scissors which can get right to the skin, mutar, no problem. The remark we saw last week in number 11 brings in a health warning and says, watch out if your scissors are too sharp, number 11, mikol makom nizharim kemistaprim pen yaseh hakol im chelek hatachton v'havi ketar. If your scissors are too sharp, then you can use one of the blades of the scissors and you will end up shaving effectively with a razor. But other than that health warning, which is scissors can be dangerous, halachically as well as physically, okay? Basically, the Shulchan Aruch concludes, and the Ramah agrees, I don't care how close your shave is, if it's with scissors, it's fine. over the page, please, and then this will take us to the end of our review. However, we saw that not everybody else was so happy. The Rivan on Marcus, who is in place of Rashi, there's a little line at the top of, I think it's Yotet Amad Bet, which says basically Rashi died at this point when he was writing his commentary on Makot, and his son-in-law, the Rivan, took over. So the last few dapim of Rashi, quote-unquote, on Makas, is actually his son-in-law, the Rivan. If you look in here, number 12, the Rivan says the following. Talmud lo me lo tashchit, umisparayim einu mashchitin. Why are scissors okay? She'ein chotchim se'ar b'tzad ikar. They don't get to the roots of the hair, ketar, like a razor does. Now, we'll have to start getting into that today, because someone asked at the end of the shiur, I think you asked about waxing. You know, there's so many different ways to get rid of hair. What do they all do? So the Rivan here said, scissors are okay, why? Because they don't get into the roots of the hair. Well, I've got news for you, razors also don't get into the roots of the hair. They shave at the skin level. Okay, they take off a layer of skin, of dead skin cells as well, which is one of the reasons why a razor shave is so smooth. And anyone who's ever shaved with a razor, any Baal Tshuva will tell you that no electric shaver gets as close as a good razor shave. But nevertheless, it doesn't get into the roots of the hair, but apparently it gets closer than scissors do. And so too, the Rivan says in number 12 of the second line, Gilosh yesh bo ashchata, derech legaleach bo. What it has to be something people normally shave with, umashchit, and a razor which also destroys the hainutar, and that's a razor. Aval rehitni, is a plane okay? Why is that okay? Mashchit, that destroys the hair. The ein derech legaleach bo, that's the issue. People don't normally shave by rubbing stones on their face, as far as I'm aware. Umisparai megalchim, scissors people do use, but they don't destroy the hair. Again, he comes and says here, I don't think it's just razors. Anything that gets into the roots, anything that people normally use for shaving, that's going to be included in this. And therefore we'll see, even the Shulchan Aruch comes out very clearly and says, no, it's fine, close shaves are fine, scissors are fine as long as they're not too sharp. Other people are not so clear. And they're saying, well, I don't know, if it's something people normally use for shaving and it gets deep enough, then that's a problem. And I've summarized for you here, just before we get, I brought you a little picture of a hair follicle. I hope they came out here. I've summarized, there are basically three levels. Level one is a tara, a true razor, which is clearly prohibited by the Torah. That destroys, quote-unquote, the hair. Misparayim ke'ein tara, scissors which give you a close cut, is fine, according to Shulchan Aruch. That doesn't destroy the hair, even though it gets close. And regular misparayim, scissors are definitely fine for everybody, as long as they're not too sharp. Now, let's just think for a second about how this works. There are lots of ways to get rid of hair. You can use scissors, you can use a razor, you can use depilatory cream, you can use waxing, you can use tweezers, you can use epilation, you can use laser treatment. Yeah, all of these things are possible. Electrolysis. They all get rid of hair, but they all get rid of hair at different points of the hair. I had to research this a little bit. Basically, razors cut the hair at the surface of the skin. They don't cut underneath the skin. If a razor's already cutting underneath your skin, you're going to have more than a close shave, okay? You're going to have a very messy face, okay? Although we'll see that the lift and cut razor managed to do something, which was to pull the hair out a little bit, cut it, and then let it drop back in, which effectively means you have cut it a little bit below the skin. We'll show you a picture of that in a minute. Depilatory cream actually cuts the hair off a little bit below the surface. The cream burns under the skin. That's why you can't leave it on too long, okay? And it doesn't smell too great either. But it burns under the surface and cuts the hair a little bit under the surface. Waxing is even better. Waxing cuts the hair in the middle under the surface in the skin layer. Tweezers are even better. They pull it right out, although they leave the root. Sorry, it sounds painful, although it's not usually. Epilation actually pulls the hair right out from the very root and just leaves the empty follicle. And there are even ways of destroying the hair follicles. Laser treatment, if applied properly, destroys the follicle, or it's meant to, and it's meant to stop the hair ever growing back again. Whether it works or not, you can ask other people. I'm not in any way experienced on that. But there are lots of ways of destroying, quote-unquote, the hair at different levels, and we just need to be aware of that when we talk now about electric shavers. So, there are four approaches in the post-skim to electric shavers. Approach number one is, they're all completely prohibited. You cannot use an electric shaver almost ever. Okay, we'll see one maybe set exception. And if you do, that's 5 Torah prohibitions, no different to a razor. That's the first approach. The second approach and the third approach are going to say, well, some shavers yes, some shavers no. You're just going to know what brand you're using. And the fourth approach is basically going to say, you can use all shavers. All electric shavers are fine. Don't even worry about it. Never going to be a problem. And then we're going to talk about Kabbalah at the end. Okay, if we get some time, hopefully. So let's have a look at how approach number one. Yes?
So, I wasn't here last week, but what is the rationale? Is it not ending up looking a certain way? Or is it that
so we talked last week, something? You need to get hold of the Shira last week, because we gave 4 or 5 rationales brought in the Rishonim. One was that not to confuse how men look with how women look, so they won't pretend to be women.
Then why does it matter what you...
One was Chukat HaGoy. A good question. As with all Ta'amei HaMitzvot, they speak to the global idea of the mitzvah, but not specifically to the details of the mitzvah. The Rambam talks about that in Mor Nevuchim as well, but that's really last week's share a little bit, and we can get you a recording of that quite easily. Let's have a look. This is all new material now. So, approach number one. I'm going to spend most of the time on this, because it's, I think, very interesting, but it may not be today the mainstream approach of most postgame, depending on who you ask your shyness to. Basically, approach number one says results matter. What do we care about? How close is your shave? If it's too close, that's not allowed. And let's have a look here. Number 13, the Nimuke Yosef, who is a Rishon, okay, he understands that even though the Shulchan Aruch, which came after him, obviously paskens that a Ka'ein Tar is okay. He says, no, I don't agree with it. Achit lenu batar, dichsiv loy tashchit, you may not destroy, he says. Aval b'misparayim mutar, why a scissors okay? Deleis b'hu hashchata, that doesn't destroy the hair, why? Sheharei nikar sham hasein. Because even after you've shaved, the hair that is left is still nikar. Now what does nikar mean?
Visible.
In which case you still look as though you have stubble even after you've shaved. Or does it mean it's not visible, but you know, I can feel it still a little bit there on my face? What does nikar mean? But in one way or the other, the hair somehow has to be able to be sensed there. And too close a shave is no good. And many of the Mephoroshim after the Shulchan Aruch picked up on this idea and said, look, we don't agree with the Shulchan Aruch. Look at number 14. Al-Kain says the Bach, who was Rav Yol Sirkus, about 100 years after the Shulchan Aruch. Mukhriyadim limchot biyadan uligzor aleihim ba'oinish chamur. We have to be absolutely public and publicly punish people in whatever way we can. Well, maybe not whatever way we can, but significantly. Shelo yigalchu klal, that we do not want them to shave at all. Af tachat agaron, even under the throat, which we saw last week, may be less of a problem, because most opinions say that the Adam's apple is not one of the corners of the beard, although some say it is. Afilu b'misparayim ke'ein tahara. He came out clearly against the Shulchan Aruch. Even though the Shulchan Aruch says you can have a very close shave, absolutely not. We must object to this. We must make sure those who do this are taken to task. Mihu havadai sharka she'enu megalech v'somach labasar. If you can manage to get away from the skin, lagamri, that's okay. Elamaniach k'tzatzar. He says, clearly you have to leave a bit of stubble. Designer stubble has been in for many hundreds of years. Maybe not as a fashion statement, but as a halachic statement. He says, te'en kan hashchatat zakan. What is okay as long as you still have stubble on your face? The Shach rejects this and says, no, at the end of the day, that's a chumrah. Look at number 15. Habach, kasav de tzarik li zaher. The Bach says you have to be careful. V'li nira das haraf ike. I think we can stay with the Shulchan Aruch, he says. Kevin de kol haposkim katzvu stamag l'misparayim mutar. Because whenever everyone said scissors okay, they said scissors okay. They didn't say scissors are okay as long as you don't get it. No, they said scissors are okay. Therefore, stick with the Shulchan Aruch. In Cain had the Trumas Adeshin, chumrahi. And therefore, the comments of the Trumas Adeshin, which is, be careful what kind of scissors you use, not too sharp. It's a chumrah. It's a chumrah. And I don't think we should need to go any more past this. Therefore, the Shach tries to bring back the close shave, but the Bach really caught on. And we'll see that in the 19th century, as reform and the Enlightenment kicked in, the positions of orthodoxy became more and more entrenched in many areas on this issue, that no, dafka, we have to have a beard, dafka, you cannot be close-shaven, even though many people before that were often close-shaven, and we'll see soon, even certain Kabbalists as well. End enter now someone we have never quoted before, called the Shailos and Tshuvas Besamim Rosh. Now, we'll see soon exactly who that was. The Besamim Rosh purported to be the Tshuvas of the Rosh. Well, when did the Rosh live? In the 13th century, leading Rishon. And they were discovered, quotes unquote, in the 19th century, late 18th century actually, and these tshuvas came out. And this tshuva raises the following interesting question. Look at number 16. Al dava ha'ish, there's a case of a man, it says, shebalo bezekano kamochom. He ends up with a big rash under his beard. The Eish Sorefet Bebasar, and he has a skin, some kind of skin infection, whatever it is, a fungal infection, some kind of complaint on the face. The Amru Aroifim, Lahasir Zakan no Batara, and the doctors have told him to shave off his beard with a razor. The Ali De Maim, Uborit, to use shaving cream and soap, etc., Bekidesha Yelcho Asa, Rodmi Ikaran, to really get the hairs out, because the hairs are causing the irritation. The Atah Sata, and you, the rabbi he's speaking to, you said this is not allowed? Lasota Kolze, you can't do this. Shalom Yomru Aroifim, Sheyesh Badav Sakana. Sorry, Kolzman, Shalom Yomru Aroifim, Sheyesh Bod Sakana. Only if the doctors say that this is life threatening, then you can shave off your beard. But the fact that the guy has a very bad face, you know, whatever, acne or some kind of major face irritation, you say you can't do that. He says, I don't think you're right. Tshuva. Al yidei goy, first of all, you can get a non-Jew to shave. Sha'af al pike midrabbanan osa, even though that's rabbinically prohibited, in this case he thinks it's going to be okay. Why? Because whenever you ask a non-Jew to do something for you, that usually is on the level of Amir al-Akum on Shabbos. If you ask a non-Jew to do something, that's not a Torah prohibition. Here he says the minute you ask a non-Jew, that it's going to downgrade to a drabbanon. Now, we said last week that that's not so straightforward, right? Do you remember last week? We said that according to many people, there's a prohibition not just on the shaver, but also on the shavy. Why do I care if a non-Jew or a Jew is shaving my beard? If I'm having my beard shaved, then that's a problem. So first of all, he said, I don't think that's a problem, which is interesting. The kevan she'ein kan ela isa drabonon. Now that I've downgraded it to a drabonon, but mokam tsar, now that you're in pain, and this is a well-known halachi principle, if a person is in significant discomfort, even if it's not life-threatening, if the prohibition is rabbinic, we often allow it. Is it too hot in here?
Yeah, we can use it.
You, if someone wants to ask, if you think to maybe them to turn it a little bit colder, I just see a lot of people fanning their faces and slipping gently into a sort of soporific game. Ki haloi gazru, the rabbis never prohibited if you're in discomfort. And I'm going to give you a piece of advice. The Afil Pekin, Telamdu Sheyikach Tchila B'Misparayim. He says, do the following. Do a double shave. First of all, use scissors. Listen carefully, because this is what he suggested. Use scissors, at Sheloya Niach, so that you leave less than Kedei Lechof Rosh HaMe'ikaram. The hair has to be small enough so that it can't turn back on itself. We'll see where he got that from in a minute. So first of all, have a scissor cut. Get the hair shorter than that. Because there he's going to say the hair is halachically irrelevant. And then when you use a razor, einu od issa, there's no problem, because what you cut off was not there. It's physically there, but it's not halachically there. Because when is a hair a hair? Halacha has to define things. There are many, we'll see soon, definitions of hairs. When is a hair not a hair? Hair today, gone tomorrow, as they say. Okay? Sorry. Okay, right. So, he says, once it's smaller than the length that can fall back on itself, it's not halachically there, then you can shave with a razor, ein od isur, she'en zakru peyer, it's not called peyers anymore. The loisair, it's not called hair anymore. Kidem hashimim lebesukyo isla nozer, as we see, as a mashme in the sugi in nozer, she'en zegilu aklav. That's not called shaving. Now, where did he get that from? Have a look on the top of page 4. He got it from a Mishnah in Nida. It says the following, shtei sarot hamurud bepara. When it talks about a para aduma, yeah. Now when have we last learned the halachas together of para aduma? Now is an opportunity. A para aduma has to be what color? Red. If you have two black hairs or two white hairs, no. Then it invalidates the cow. So you're a lucky farmer, you have a para aduma worth gazillions of dollars, and then you notice two little hairs coming out which are the wrong color. So the question is, at what length do those hairs invalidate your para aduma? They have to be a certain length. And with nagaim is of course sara'at, that again, there are certain simanim of tzaraat where a hair will either cause the tzaraat, like a golden hair on the beard region, or it will save the tzaraat. At what point can you look at that hair and say, ha ha, look, there are hairs there, good news or bad news, depending on what the case is. V'ha'amurid b'kol makam, and whenever we need to talk about a hair, which we'll see, is that this case as well, of our beard case, it brings three opinions. Listen carefully. Opinion number one, kedei lachof l'oshan le'ikaram. Enough, the hair has to be big enough in order to be halakhically relevant to fold over on itself. That's where we saw before. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Elazar, or my Rabbi Elazar says, kedei likrotz betziporen. What's likrotz? To pinch it. So you can pinch it with your nail. Now, is that shorter or longer than the first one? The first definition. Is that shorter than the amount to fold over on itself? Sure. Probably a bit shorter. Rabbi Akiva, Omer, Rabbi Akiva says no. Kedei sheyuhu netulot bazug. It has to be the size that you could still snip a bit off with a pair of scissors. Is that shorter still, or is that a bit longer? Not clear, really. And also, even when we say the amount that you have to grab with the nail, what does that mean? Does it mean you have to grab it with the nail? Does it mean you have to be able to lift it with the nail? I'm not getting into the nano definitions of this, but they become very important, as we'll see in a minute. And the Gemara in Nida said, whatever lengths these are, in number 18, Amar Rav Chisda, Amar Mar Ukva, Halacha Kedivrei Kulan Lahachmir. Whichever area you're dealing with in halacha, we're going to go with the most machmir view of these three sizes, whichever they are. Whether it's to fold over on itself, or to pinch with the nail, or whether it's enough that you can shave with scissors. Whichever is the most machmir, we're going to take that. Let me give you an example. In number 19, which is very halacha lamaisa. Forget about your para aduma, let's think about your bar mitzvah boy. Says the Rambam, number 19, Shtei sarot amurud baven. So he paskens that, as we know, when does a child become bar or bat mitzvah? So a girl at the age of 12 and a boy at the age of 13, plus they have to have two adult body hairs. If they do not have those two hairs, they're not bar or bat mitzvah. There are two tanaim. They have to be reach the age, and they have to be showing signs of maturity, of puberty. You need both. Says the Rambam, how big does the hair need to be? It needs to be enough that it will fold on itself. Okay, fine. And when it's at least big enough to be able to be shaved with scissors, until that larger amount, we say that's lechumra either way. Lefikach, he gives you an example. Beben ukubatz. Let's say you have a child that has very, very short adult hairs. We assume, well, maybe you're a grown-up. You can't do anything that an adult wouldn't be able to do. Since it's reached at least that tiny little bit, you could shave it with scissors. But we'll still regard you as a child, since it hasn't reached the larger shear. What do we do, by the way, practically speaking? We don't check anything. Why? Because we assume, there's a chazaka, say, that says the halacha, that if a boy has reached 13 or if a girl has reached 12, there's probably body hair. We're certainly not checking anything at all. And we assume, for all rabbinic mitzvahs, that the hairs are there without checking. But we, by the way, do not assume that for Torah mitzvahs, because as we see, on a Torah level, you're not bar or bat mitzvah until you have both the age and the hair. Which is very interesting, because for any rabbinic mitzvah, a bar mitzvah boy or a bat mitzvah girl will be able to perform like an adult. The boy turns bar mitzvah, he'll daven ma'ariv. Very nice. No one's going to ask whether he's more developed, less developed. But for a Torah mitzvah, we won't let him. For example, if a child becomes bar mitzvah and is pasha zachor, they'll let him read the whole Parsha, but they won't let him read Parsha Zachor. Mm-hmm. Why not? If he's bar mitzvah, he's bar mitzvah. Because, I don't know, he may not be bar mitzvah. We haven't gone checking for hairs, and we're not going to, and therefore we'll say someone else can read Parsha Zachor. My son's bar mitzvah was Parsha's Para. And Parsha's Para is, he also may be a Doraita, maybe not a Doraita, depending on how you basken. The Rav said, no, he can't read Parsha's Para, someone else has to read Parsha's Para. It's even a shaila. Can your 13-year-old boy or your 12-year-old girl make Kiddush on Friday night, when the first Friday night they're bar mitzvah? So an adult man or woman can make kiddush for the family, there's no question. But I don't know if you're an adult man or woman at all, and maybe it's the rice, and maybe it's the rabbanon. Interesting question. That's not the question we're dealing with. I just brought you here that the Rambam uses those parameters, if you like, to judge whichever is the more machmir, that's still called a her. So it comes along the note of Yehuda and the Chasam Sofer and says, what are you talking about? This Besamim Rosh, who came along and said, you know what? This guy who has bad skin conditions on his face, do the following, the double cut. Let's cut his hair with scissors till it's below a certain length, the longer length to fall back, and then we'll shave the beard off. Says the Chasam Sofer, you're talking nonsense. Because Mimana Shach, whichever way you look at it, you've done something wrong. Why? Because if the relevant shear is the longer length, and you cut below with scissors below that, then that's called cutting off the hair. And if that didn't work, halachically, then the minute you shave with a razor, then for sure that's called cutting off the hair. And you'll see in a minute what he says, because it's very important. In fact, the Besamim Rosh turned out to be one of the biggest scandals of the 18th century, because it was a forgery. The Besamim Rosh, I don't know if people have come across this, was actually a set of tshuvas which purported to be the tshuvas of the Rosh, but was actually composed by Rabbi Saul Berlin. Rabbi Berlin was the son of the chief rabbi of Berlin, which is where he got his name from. He was also, by the way, his younger brother was Rabbi Solomon Herschel. Does anyone know who Rabbi Solomon Herschel was? Anyone with a good Anglo history background? He was the chief rabbi of England for 40 years of the United Kingdom and the British Empire before the Adlers took over, before Nathan Marcus Adler, etc. And he was the younger brother of this individual, no doubt not very impressed by his older brother's notoriety. In fact, Solomon Herschel tried as far as he could to keep reform out of England, unsuccessfully. But the older brother turned out to be a brilliant forger, in the sense that he managed to convince many, many people that these were indeed the tshuvas of the Rosh, except that people started to notice that these tshuvas had a coincidentally strong enlightenment agenda. They started saying things like, you can shave, or you can ride on Shabbos, or that actually we don't really get our inspiration as much from revelation, but from reason and philosophy, etc. People began to suspect. He said, you can drink non-kosher wine, and this of course was uncovered as a total forgery. But the Chasam Sofer says, even if it wasn't a forgery, which it is, and he calls it the Kizvei Harosh, instead of the Kisvei Harosh, the Kizvei Harosh, the lies of the Rosh, he basically says, it's not acceptable. And I want you to just show, I want to show you the key thing here, why this is important for us. Go to the third line of number 20. Va'ani Oisif, I'm going to add the following. In Ein Kabbalah al Ashir, even though we don't know exactly which shear is the right shear, in Kena Svara noted the Chayav Alav, I still think you would be obligated for shaving. Why? Dehari Tar Loik Siv Bekra. Because the Pasuk never mentions the word razor, says the Chasam Sofer. Eloloi Tashchis, he does says you may not destroy the beard. The Chazal Amru, and the rabbi said, Engiloch Sheesh Bashchata, Elabatavalos, Bimisparayim. And he said, but actually, that was just an example. A razor was just one way of doing hashchata and giluach. But since the posuk never used the expression razor, any time the hair is short enough and it's a normal way of shaving, that is going to be called prohibited totally in halacha. And as I said, the Nodi Yehuda said this, and the Chasam Sofer said this, and I brought you on page 5 a number of interesting tshuvas, which we're not going to go all of them inside, but Rav Moshe Sternbuch brings this up here. Rav Moshe Sternbuch, who is not a clean-shaven rabbi, who is known, I'm sure, to many people here, he writes the following in number 21. Hamachona b'yameinu lefi anira le'ein la'ayin megaleach k'motar. Machines, razors these days, machine shavers, they shave close like a razor. Aval be'etzem pu'latahu k'misparayim. But the problem is, actually, if you analyze them, they work like scissors. And we'll get into this in a minute. Most shavers today do not work like a razor, where one blade cuts against the skin. What they have is they have a foil, or something that holds the hair, and then together with a blade, that cuts the hair. So even though, he says, they give a close shave, they actually work like this, rather than like this. So what are we going to do with that? hasakinim, because they use two blades. The whole point of a scissor is a scissor can achieve more with blunter blades because you're using the resistance of the two blades. So says Rav Moshe Sternbuch, our modern day electric shavers, they cut very close, but they seem to work like scissors. The Hakadosh HaChafetz Chaim, and the Chafetz Chaim said, the Kenkos of a Chazon Ish, and he says also, the Chen Rabbeinu HaChazon Ish, Pasku Shizehu Tar Mamash. They pasken that these electric shavers were actual razors. Now, the Chafetz Chaim never paskened anything on an electric shaver, because the electric shaver was invented after he'd already passed away. But he paskened on something, and we'll see what that is in a minute. And he basically analyzed this. Aval Rabim Nagula Hakel, but I'm aware, he says, and he was a Rav for many years in South Africa, many men use these shavers. And when I was young, he says, I heard that Rav Chaim Oizer Grzinski in Europe, he allowed it very famously. Rav Chaim Oizer is very famous for two big heterim. Number one, the electric shaver. Number two,
gelatine.
Exactly. He's famous for many, many other things as well, but they are two of the things he's known for by those who want to try and be mekel. And even though he says, actually, you've got to know your brands, you've got to know what you're actually dealing with. Nevertheless, I think that they're basically the same, they're talking about the same thing, and he analyzes it like this. He basically says, which way are you going to look at it? Are you results-led, meaning if it's a close shave, that's prohibited, or are you process-driven? If it's a scissor process, then that's okay. And he concludes clearly, he says, I go with a close shave, and he says the last three lines, Mimela le'inin giluach mechona, when it comes to shaving with a razor, a shaver rather, shehu isur chamur, I think it's completely prohibited. You're breaking five different prohibitions by using an electric shaver. We absolutely have to be machmir. He quotes the Steipler, who says, absolutely you can't use a shaver. It makes no difference between a razor and a shaver. At the end, he says, if someone's going to shave with an electric shaver, better they should do that than use a razor. And if by telling them they can't shave at all, they'll just say, oh, forget it, I'll use a razor, then at least allow them to use a shaver. But in principle, he says, this completely prohibited, as I said, the Chofetz Chaim, the Chazon Ish, the Stipler, this was Rav Eliashiv's position, this was Rav Shach's position, and this is still the position of, this was Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach's position, this was the position of many of the Poskim in Eretz Yisrael, that you cannot use an electric shaver. Now, what was the Chofetz Chaim actually talking about, if not a shaver? He may have been talking about manual clippers, and if he held that was prohibited, then our modern day shavers are even worse, because they're closer than that. Or he may have been talking about the safety razor, which is interesting, because Gillette, as I said, brought out a safety razor, and he calls it a machinka, a little machine that shaves your face. If he's talking about the safety razor, then I don't know, all bets are off, because that's obviously very different to an electric shaver, and it's not clear what he was talking about. But it is clear, the Chazon Ish, have a look in number 22, I brought you here the Chalkas Yaakov of Rav Yaakov Breisch, and he's going to quote the Chazon Ish very clearly. Look in number 22. The al be'inyin giluach b'machana elektrit. The heavy divrei chasim sofi brings the chasim sofi, etc. That says it doesn't say tar, it says lo tashchit. Second line. Chazina dehecha de loy nisha shir sar achad yachad gilu. If you can't see hair after the shave, afilu alidei misparayim, even with scissors, chayav. That is bal tashchit. The hini on a Parades, and he quotes one of the journals, Haparades. Ra'iti shirav echad maybe b'shem agon Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. Oh, he says someone quotes from Tzvi Pesach Frank in Yerushalayim la'asur giluach chashmalit, and he says that he prohibited electric shavers. V'harav mepalpel sham lahate, and this Rav wanted to say it was okay. V'katavti tekev liyididi harav, and I wrote straight away to my friend Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. Says Rav Yaakov Breisch. Rav Yaakov Breisch was a Hasidic Rav in Europe after the war. He says, I wrote to Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, based in Yerushalayim. He says, do you really prohibit electric shavers? And he wrote back immediately, "V'kibalti b'men tekef tshuva," and I received a tshuva from him, "Masha nitfas b'shmi la'asur mechonat chashmal einu nachon." When they printed in the journal that I prohibit electric shavers, it's not correct. I think a good rule of life is never believe anything that is written about anyone in any journal unless you actually saw them sign that they agree with it. Because so many times you see people, things printed in people's names, signatures on lampposts and all sorts of things. I think you can be a healthy skeptic that very little is actually reliable in that respect, in any direction. He says, "I never said any such thing." All I said was, if the shave is very close, and you can't see any hair, but if you can find yourself an electric shaver which leaves you with a healthy looking stubble, now they're not going to make a lot of money out of that, but he says the Chalkas Yaakov, that would work. And he gives an eitzah. He says maybe you could hold it a little far further away from your face. He says at the end of this tshuva, if you're going to use an electric shaver, just hold it a couple of millimeters from your face so that it won't actually go too close. Because again, that's what they're getting at. Don't get such a close shave. Rav Moshe Sternberg wrote back and says that's bubimizer. You can't do that. That's not going to work. He says what you could do maybe for those who allow electric shavers, which he doesn't, is that at least they'll go over again and again and again and again until you get a really close shave. Everyone's had a shave with a shaver, so you go over once, it's okay, but you go over five or six times and you get a closer shave. Is there maybe that you can do?
But it doesn't equal on the face. There are only parts of the face.
Good. We talked about that last week. The Peir Tarosh is more problematic, but down here we're talking about. Henry had a question?
Yes. Baal Tashrus, I mean, the whole thing revolves around Baal Tashrus.
Yes.
Okay.
Good, but someone asked this last week. Baal Tashchis doesn't mean you completely destroyed it beyond all hope of recovery. I give you an analogy. If you take a fruit tree and you smash branches off the fruit tree and throw the fruit away, that's Baal Tashchis. You didn't uproot the tree, the fruit will grow back. You don't have to uproot the whole tree in order to be doing Baal Tashchis. So too here, you don't have to destroy the whole head that never will grow again in order to be doing Baal Tashchis. The Chazon Ish, look at this, the Minchas Yitzchak, Rav Yitzchak Weiss, quotes the Chazon Ish number 24. V'chein, ma she'nema li b'shem agon haChazon Ish. A little bit of humor at the beginning here. It says, Hevi Arugan Rav Moshe Sternbach, so Rav Moshe Sternbach quoted the Chazon Ish, she'siper loy, eid ne'eman, and I give you very clear testimony. From one of the excellent members of the Ponovich Kolel. Okay, Havahu Amuflag Harav Noach Berman. I don't know exactly who Rav Noach Berman was, but one of the greats of Ponovich. Sheshal Ba'atzmoy Pi HaChazonish. He asked the Chazonish himself, Im Nachon HaShmua. Is it correct what people are saying? Shehu pasak sheyorei shamayim yeshlo liizar shelo legalech machano electric. Is it correct when the Chazon Ish says that a God-fearing man should not be using an electric shaver? Beheishes shaloi nacham, and the Chazon Ish says it's not correct. Ragzeu isalo kol echad. Not only a God-fearing man, but any man cannot use an electric shaver. The lola yorei shamayim bilvad v'alze shal od ulai yesh lechalek. Maybe you can use this shaver, not that shaver. And he said, no, all shavers are prohibited. And that is a mainstream opinion amongst many, many poskim. If you take it to Yulrad Yerushalayim, it won't be hard to find many poskim who tell you that electric shavers are completely prohibited. Again, where they're coming from is how close is the shave. The only thing which is allowed is something which leaves visible, or at least feelable, stubble. Now, go over the page. The second approach, and here you'll see a very handy-dandy diagram here of how the lift and cut works, that it goes without saying that according to this first approach, the lift and cut shaver will be completely prohibited. Every shaver is prohibited, basically, unless you hold it a little bit far away from your face and manage to make it not work properly. The second approach is, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank says the following. This is very interesting. 25. I think you need to check. And we saw before, he said not all shavers are prohibited. The actual blade in an electric shaver doesn't touch the skin. beinehem, because there's always a very thin metal grill between them. Im kein ein dino elikim isparayim. That's what I call scissors. Ka'ein tar misparayim. Okay, scissors. Ka'ein tar. It gets very close, but it's still scissors. She'ein o ovi beloy tar se digilu achazaka. Says Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. This was also Rav Yosef Eliyahu Henkin's position. Rav Blumenkrantz writes this as well. As long as there's something coming between the skin and the blade, you're okay. So for many of the electric shavers, this is going to be fine. Take the old shaver with a sort of a, not with a round heads, but with a grill. Yeah, is it Philips? I don't exactly.
Remington.
Okay, Remington. Then we'll get to Victor Kayam in a minute. Don't worry, we'll get to him soon. That is going to be fine because there's a grill between the blades and the face. Lift and cut, however, works like this. Look at these diagrams. Here, Aleph Bet Gimel Dala. This is taken from Tzomet. Tzomet basically analyzed this and took this from the promotional material for lift and cut. Look at what happens. Aleph, you have two little blades. You have a smaller blade and a bigger blade, and the grill pushes the skin down, so the skin bubbles up between the grills there and actually touches the blade. The little blade lifts the hair out, that's Bet, out from the follicle. Then the bigger blade quickly cuts it and then drops it back down, and now you have it cut below the skin. Two things happened here. Number one, the hair ends up severed below the skin. Number two, the skin comes into contact with the blade because it pulls the skin out. According to this, lift and cut would be a problem, and therefore that's one of the reasons why many, many poskim are unhappy with lift and cut. However, there's a third approach, which is the following. What really matters, and this was Rav Moshe Feinstein's approach, what really matters is how the blades are working. If they're working like this, okay. If they're working like this, they're not okay. And in fact, we talked about that before. I brought you here from Rav Shabtai Rappaport in number 26, the grandson-in-law of Rav Moshe. He says the following. The protective metal screen housing a blade that some razors have can work in one of two ways. Please look with me, number 26. If it acts as a second blade that enables the first to cut against it, one is shaving with scissors. Those who permit shaving with scissors, which is most people, which can produce the effect of a razor, which again, not like the first opinion, but anyone who says a close cut is okay, would permit such a razor. If, however, the screen just protects the skin, but does not aid in cutting the hair is still being cut by a razor. You have to open up the model. You have to say, what is your grill doing? Is the grill acting like the second blade of a scissor, and therefore that's how it works? Or is the grill just holding the hair while something comes and cuts? If the razor cuts the hair of the skin, it accomplishes hashkata, even if it does not touch the skin itself. I'm of the opinion that using such an electric razor to shave is prohibited, just as using a razor itself. And Rav Rappaport says, you can't just trust the advertising slogans. He says, you have to take them apart. Anyone here who is over a certain age will remember Victor Kayam, who closes a blade or your money back. No one remembers that? Remington, he liked it so much, he bought the company. Okay, don't worry about that. You obviously had better things to do in the 1970s than look at bad Remington adverts. But he says you can't listen to the marketing material because it may just be, you know, hype. You have to actually take it apart and look at that. In fact, that distinction, I brought you 27 and 28, which you can read in your own time because I want to move on, where here Rav Moshe Heinemann from Star K says that's the real question. Is it scissors? Or is it not scissors? And Rav Shabtai Rappaport brings down here other applications of this in 28. What exactly Rav Moshe Feinstein held is a matter of dispute. Because if you ask some people, Rav David Feinstein, Rav Reuven Feinstein, Rav Belsky, they will say that Rav Moshe said most shavers were okay, but lift and cut, he was not so happy with lift and cut, etc. However, if you ask other people, Rabbi Ziegler kindly sent me a link to an audio tape by Rav Shmuel Furst of the CRC in Chicago, and he says very, very clearly that Rav Moshe Feinstein held that basically all electric shavers were fine because they were basically all scissors in the way that they worked, and he even allowed lift and cut shavers. So it depends on who you ask. The problem is Rav Moshe never wrote a tshuva. about this. Why did Rav Moshe never write a tshuva? He wrote a tshuva about everything. He never wrote about this. So, again, it depends on who you ask. Some people say he never wrote a tshuva on this because he said it was so obvious that the shavas are okay that I didn't need to write about it. I don't like that answer because he wrote about a lot of things that you would have thought were obvious. What may be a more accurate answer is, even though he held that the shavers were basically okay, he didn't want to say everyone should shave because he felt that a yid should have a beard. That's, I also heard that, which sounds more likely. Either way, he didn't write a tshuva about it, and depending on who you ask, you'll get a different answer. Go over to page 8. Page 8 brings a fourth approach. But you can see already by this third approach, many lift and cut razors will be fine, shavers will be fine, and most other shavers will be fine because they work like scissors. Rav Rosin from Summit says they took apart almost every brand of shaver on the market in the early 2000s, and he said almost every one of them worked like scissors, not like a razor, and therefore they were basically fine. Number 29 is the Ksava HaKabbalah. Let me summarize this very quickly because I want to deal with the Kabbalistic issues. The Ksava HaKabbalah, Rav Yaakov Mecklenburg, he was a parish on Chumash. And he wrote there that it never actually mentions the word hair either in the Pasuk. It doesn't mention razor and it doesn't mention hair. And he said, what does it mean to destroy the corners of the beard? It means anything which takes off large amounts of hair at the same time. That was his understanding. Hashchata is nothing to do with the individual hair. It's to do with the action of a razor. When you use a razor on the face, it takes a whole swathe of hair away. That's called hashchata. But if you were to go around your face plucking each hair out individually, so that's not a hashchata. According to this, the way that an electric shaver works is actually, if you examine it microscopically, it plucks out every single hair individually. It doesn't just shave a whole part of the head off. And therefore, there are others that wanted to say this is the approach of Rav Nachum Rabinovich of Maale Adumim. And in case you say, oh yeah, but look, Ksava HaKabbalah was a Perush on Chumash, you can't bring him as a halachic expert. The answer is maybe yes, maybe no. But Rav David Zvi Hoffman says the same thing, and he also agrees with this. He brings this Perush number 30, and therefore this is clearly a relevant issue. And according to this, basically all electric shavers will be fine. There's nothing to talk about. And lift and cut is not even a problem. What's the problem? So he lifts each hair and cuts it. That's not what the problem is, according to Rav David Zvi Hoffman. So according to this approach, it will basically all be fine. Rav Yisrael Rosin also said an interesting thing from Tomet. Rav Rosin said that actually, this is an interesting story, you can like it or not like it, even if you find that your electric shaver works like a razor, when you take it apart and it actually cuts the hair directly, that's all happening on a microscopic level. And the halacha doesn't take account of microscopic issues. It's only what is nearer la'ayin. And since to you and me, it looks like it's going like a pair of scissors, even though if I take a video and slow it down 1,000 times, I'll see that it's not. Lo mashana, it's good enough. Which is very interesting. How do you apply that? How far do you apply that? Etc. But he wants to bring that svara and basically say, if you go on the Tomet website, you'll see that basically all shavers there, he says, are okay. Two last things before we finish. Number one, there is a possibility, according to some poskim, that there is a rabbinic level to this. Even if your shaver doesn't do hashchata, maybe, since the Rambam said patur, patur means there's still a rabbinic prohibition, even for shavers that technically do not destroy the beard. The Sefer HaChinuch says this in number 31. He wants to say there's a whole rabbinic level. Over the page as well, the Tzemach Tzedek, the third Lubavitcher Rebbe, says he was very unhappy with shavers, as indeed the Lubavitchers are Adayon Hazer. There's a certain Lubavitch beard look, right, which clearly is not a close-shaven look. The Tzemach Tzedek wants to say that it may be lo yilbash derabonon, that it's an issue of being effeminate, which is an interesting question. Is it effeminate now for a man to have a close shave?
No.
So what is effeminate depends on the norms of society. Maybe to shave all his body hair with a razor would be still considered to be a feminine thing to do, but to have a close shave, maybe not. And others say it's hukatagoy. I just want to, on a drabonon level, I want to just finish in the last 2 minutes with a Kabbalistic issue, because this will lead us into another share we're going to have later in the year, please God. The Zohar talks very negatively about even touching the beard. Look at number 33. Patach Reb Shimon, quoting the Zohar. But Amar Rav Shimon comes along and says, "Thy man da oishit yadav bedikne yakira alav. Woe is to he, the man that even puts his hand up and touches his beard. Why? Because he may pull the beard hairs out." And I actually brought you in number 34, which I'm not going to read in full, from the Arizal. The Arizal, and I am not a Kabbalist, please go and speak to your local Orthodox Kabbalist for an understanding of what's going on. But the Arizal says, actually, each of the five corners of the beard downloads a special shefa from Shamayim, and is actually a source of incredible Kabbalistic power. And therefore, if you pull out the hairs, even accidentally, even by just pulling out the hair from any of this area, you are cutting off that shefa, and you are doing something very negative. Ah, you'll say that's Kabbalah, not Halacha. That's brought on Shulchan Aruch. That's brought in the Berehativ in number 35. You mentioned that people stroke their beards. Someone just mentioned people stroke their beard. Interesting, because there's meant to be a segula when you think, try to think through a sugi, it's a stroke the beard. How these two things go together is a good question. But I just wanted to point out on the last page that the Munkat Sharov says, "I don't understand." Almost all of the poskim ignore this Kabbalistic this issue. They say, okay, halacha is halacha, Kabbalah is Kabbalah. The Arizal says don't even stroke your beard, but the halacha it's mutter to even use a shaver. I don't understand. Because even though we have a principle that where halacha and Kabbalah collide, which wins? Halacha. The Torah Tanigla wins over the Torah Tanista. He says, but don't we say, and he brings sources here, and we'll talk about them in more length another time, that when there's a Chumrah of the Kabbalah, where the Kabbalah doesn't disagree with the Halacha, but just adds to the Halacha, we should keep that Chumrah. So here, why is everybody shaving with an electric shaver? I don't understand. And the Chasam Sofer actually dismissed. Ein lanu esek benistarot, he said. We don't get involved with Kabbalah. He says, how could the Chasam Sofer say this? You know, the Chasam Sofer says you can't have a clean shave. He says he has no problem clipping his beard. The Chasam Sofer had a clipped beard. So he doesn't understand it. He thinks, alpi Kabbalah, every man should be prohibited from even pulling the hairs out of the beard. And there are those that want to say this. I brought you back just on the last source, 37. I want to show you. Ra'iti says, Rav Sternbuch, Muvashe b'sof yamo shel HaKadosh HaChofetz Chaim, at the end of the Chofetz Chaim's life, he found it, he was hard of hearing. And therefore, he stood near to the bima during laning. And every now and then, he jumped back from the bima. And he walked away from the bima in the middle of laning. They asked him, why are you leaving the bima? And he said, when they gave an aliyah in Radin to a Jew without a beard, I can't take that. I have to leave the walk away. So then they made a new rule in the shul. When the Chofetz Chaim comes to shul, lo yitnu aliyah lemisha ein lo zakan. They only gave the aliyah to someone who had a beard. Okay? So, I don't know if there probably are still shuls where they do this. Bottom line, I gave you a summary. And you can follow the summary yourself because it's a complicated Indian. But it really depends on who you ask. And there is on what to rely and on whom to rely pretty much on every different position, except for, of course, a regular razor, which everyone agrees is prohibited completely. Add 10 electric shavers. I think we've seen enough. Next week, please God, we're getting into the issue of Kibrit Tzadikim and davening in slightly strange circumstances like that.